Welcome, everybody. It's the Monday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. I'd probably be crying in my sleep a lot more if I wasn't able to come and speak with you wonderful people about what's going on inside my head. I got to go to breaking news. Most days before I come on the air, I do try to check breaking news, and there is some pretty incredible breaking news. So Anya, I'm going to paint you a hypothetical and then ask you a question.
Okay, I'm ready. Paint away.
Okay. Everybody at home, you can play along too. So here's the hypothetical. Let's say you're the leading contender for a really high profile political office. Okay. And your number one opposition, you know, one of that person's kids had been accused of illegally purchasing a firearm. And there was a whole big controversial corruption thing going on because your opponent, their kid, bought a firearm illegally. So that's the hypothetical fact set. You're also a big gun advocate.
I am? Oh, okay.
You are. This is the hypothetical. Oh, it's right, hypothetical. Right, right. Okay. And say, again, you're a tier one candidate leading your party's nomination process. And, oh, also, by the way, you've been indicted 4 times for a variety of counts, which now number over 270, many of them felony counts, both in state and federal courts.
I don't know if I like the cards you're dealing me in this hypothetical,
I know, it's a
Maggie.
Terrible hypo for you.
I don't
you,
sound good, but go ahead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Would you, as this hypothetical front runner candidate, charged with some nearly 270 counts of both federal and state crimes, many of them very serious felonies, would you or would you not attempt to purchase a handgun while on live TV during a PR stunt at a federally registered firearms dealer in, I believe, South Carolina? Would you say on camera a number of times, "No, I want to buy that gun, that Glock right there. I want to buy that gun"? And keep in mind, it's a crime for anybody who's been indicted to purchase a firearm. Would that be something that you might do?
I had so many jokes ready in my head, Maggie, and they all went out the window. Tell me what this news is. But no, I wouldn't. If I was a tier one candidate for anything, God help us, that would be the worst part of it. But I wouldn't do this. What's happened, Maggie? Tell me. This is horrible.
What has happened? Okay. This is breaking about at 4 o'clock Eastern time, perhaps. The New York Times article just popped about 40 minutes ago. In a PR stunt gone terribly wrong, former President Donald Trump went gun shopping on Monday with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene and asked to buy a Glock pistol while on camera, which would have been a brazen violation of the very same law, mind you, that recently landed Hunter Biden in criminal trouble. Federal law prohibits anyone under indictment from attempting to buy a firearm. Obviously, he's been indicted a few times now. "I want to buy one," Trump said while taking a tour of Palmetto State Armory, a federally licensed gun dealer in South Carolina that's widely revered by firearms enthusiasts. "Sir, if you want one, this one's yours," a person on the tour said, seeming to divert the president away from making an actual purchase. Trump responded, "No, I want to buy one." It only added to the fiasco when those present pulled South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson into the photo op, as well as his brother, Julian Wilson, an executive at the private equity company that owns the gun dealer. Oh, yeah, and these two guys are both the sons of current sitting Republican Congressman Joel Wilson. So, yeah, you've got the guy that just said that he wanted to commit a federal crime, now taking a photo op with the guy that owns the gun store and the attorney general, who are brothers and also the sons of a sitting South Carolina congressman. Oh, and then it got more fun because later today, Stephen Chung, Trump's campaign spokesperson, tweeted this: President Trump purchases a Glock in South Carolina. Actually tweeted that out. The president just committed another crime and we're promoting it. He eventually deleted the tweet. A firearms journalist questioned the spokesperson on Twitter, quote, did he actually go through with the purchase? Chung later removed the tweet. Yeah. Woo. Ugh. Yuck. Bad. Ugh. What a mistake. I mean, again, political theater, we expect part of it. But this level of just straight up stupid is at another level. If you've got any reactions, I want to hear them. 844-967-2789. But with even-handed fervor, I want to start with this. Senator Menendez from New Jersey. For real? Now, let's take a 10,000-foot view. First of all, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Senator Menendez, a Democratic senator long-serving from New Jersey, was charged on Friday with basically corruption charges. It's bribery, it's influence peddling, it's all of that stuff. Now, you may be asking yourself, gee whiz, this guy's name seems very familiar to me. I think it was in the news recently. Maybe it was talked about in a congressional hearing last week. Ah, yes, you would be right. This is the same Senator Menendez that was once prosecuted for the same sort of influence peddling and bribery by none other than January 6th special counsel Jack Smith. Yes, you heard it here. Jack Smith tried to lock up Democrats. One would not actually be able to discern that if you were listening to the congressional hearing with Attorney General Merrick Garland last year. Yeah, Jack Smith tried to lock up Senator Menendez in a prosecution in the, I think, like mid-2010s-ish, I think, like just before 2015 or so. And Menendez was acquitted. Now, you would think that this Democratic senator from that great state of New Jersey would say, whew, boy, nearly went to federal prison for bribery. Maybe I should try to keep my nose clean for the duration of my terms in the Senate. But no, he literally had gold bars stacked up in his house when it was raided by federal agents. Stacks, bound stacks of hundies stuffed in coat pockets. I won't quiz you on this one, Anya, but
what would I do if I opened my coat pocket and found stacks of hundies? I wouldn't be here, Maggie, if that was the question.
Right. And you wouldn't have them off our salaries, would we? Senators make about 170-ish, less than 200K a year. Like, nobody that's making 200K is going to have, like, stacks of hundies just sitting around in my pockets trying to pick up lint, collect dust, gold bars. I mean, what? And basically, this all was influence peddling indirectly through a bunch of people that his newly minted wife knew from Egypt. Lovely. And oh, need I miss or not talk about the fact that Senator Menendez sat on the, I'm going to botch the name, the precise name of the committee, but it's like the Foreign Affairs, the Foreign Services Committee. It's the Senate committee that's in charge of basically looking after these sorts of things, the United States' relationship with various foreign powers.
Would it be the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations? Does that sound right?
Yes, there that would go. Be it. Thank you, Anya. That sounds much better than me just riffing on things that mean relations, which could get us into a heap of trouble pretty fast. I mean, what the heck? Menendez, this is terrible. And yet, you know what, Anya? The entire transaction that is Washington, D.C. is all based on this, right? What we are talking about are a system that is designed to actually provoke this kind of behavior. The opportunities for graft and bribery are daily occurrences for senators and congressmen alike. In fact, it trickles down through every level of government. That's possible and very omnipresent. If you're willing to be bribed, they will find you. Someone will find you and put money in your pocket. I guarantee it. And then you're supposed to get on the phone and dial for cash every day from donors. Like, this isn't a recipe for influence peddling and bribery. This is the system that we've selected. I'm going to go to the phones. Jim from Wisconsin Rapids, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Wisconsin Rapids, I'm an Appleton.
Oh, it sorry, Jim.
Wrong with whatever phone number I called. But anyway, let's go back to Trump for just a second. Of course he went out and tried to buy a gun. The man has never in his life been held accountable for anything.
I also don't think the man's ever shot a gun. Right? I'll put that out there. Thanks for the call, Jim from Appleton, getting that wrong. Sorry about that, Jim. Yeah, I don't think Trump's ever shot a gun. He certainly never served in the military. Doesn't look like he's ever met a Big Mac he doesn't like. Doesn't work out. Doesn't ride a bike. I've never seen him doing anything remotely athletic except hitting a golf club, which, again, as I am wont to do, let's invoke the late, great George Carlin. If you pick up a crooked club and you hit this tiny little white ball somewhere into the yards and yards of beautiful greenage in front of you, I say, pick up the little white ball and go home. You're a winner. You found it. But no, they pick up a different crooked club and hit the ball again. Makes no sense. I'm going to continue talking about Menendez when we come back. Join the conversation. We need a new system. And boy, we need people that stand up and really, truly honor the oaths that they have taken. I'm Maggie Dawn. Join us, 844-967-2789. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about Senator Menendez. And I'm going to talk about General Milley, and as well as something that probably escaped everyone's read. It was a buried story about the 9/11 criminal trials that continue to go on. And first of all, I think we all can agree, I don't care what side of the aisle that you are on, is that the system for how we select elected officials in this country, how they stay in office, and the fact that we've decided that money is speech, and that all of the perverse consequences that come from that fundamental error in judgment made by the Supreme Court in the decision Citizens United have created a system under which there are always the most unbelievable opportunities nearly daily for any elected official to be corrupted. It's just available in spades. And there are, pick an industry, there's somebody willing to pay off an elected official to get their way. And yet we've decided that some kinds of payoffs are okay. But like, oh, it can't be too direct. You can't actually have gold bars and stacks of hundies stuffed in your jacket pockets. But the system is the problem. McCain-Feingold, remember that piece of legislation? Yeah, Supreme Court said that's no good. That's unconstitutional because money is speech. Last time I checked, it wasn't. Because if money is speech, that means some people get to speak infinitely and at the loudest volume, drowning everybody else out. That's the consequence of money is speech. I don't understand how the consequence is anything but that. If money is speech, then some people get to speak indefinitely. If billionaires can control what we read and what we see, then not only is money is speech and some people can speak infinitely and at the highest volumes, then other people with a ton of money get to tell us what we actually get to hear, except for on AM radio and civic media. The calls are lighting up. Jeff, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm assuming you can hear me.
I sure can, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. My opinion, we live in a representative democracy. And when I ran for political office, I had a dream that Benjamin Franklin came to me. And what he told me was, I know this is going to sound weird, but he told me that we can do this as long as we have an ethic, as we have a personal ethic. So it's really a matter of personal choice for the representative to have a clean slate. You have to elect people that have a moral conscience and they're fundamentally good people. You got to make the right choice when you vote.
I really think that says so much so simply, right? Jeff, thanks so much for the call. I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you want to say something else, sir? Oh, we lost Jeff. Couldn't agree with him more. And these three instances, Menendez being corrupt, responding to these charges and statements, accusing the prosecution of being politicized, and that he's being sought out because he's Latino or Hispanic or Latine, depending on how you want to express that. Boy, well, if it's politicized against Menendez and it's politicized over here and it's politicized, then there's no law enforcement that can be relied upon. There's no one that gets to actually, with some credibility and trust of the vox populi, prosecute corruption. That can't be the answer. That seems ridiculous. Tom from LA, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Yeah. Hey, Maggie, first off, we the people means government and we must never forget that. And you're right about Citizens United and the Supreme Court. And I would just ask, which Supreme Court was it that actually brought about Citizens United in the first place? Was it a conservative Supreme Court or was it more of a liberal Supreme Court?
Because
I think people should know that.
Yeah, it was a mixed bag, if I remember. We'll check on break and then we'll talk about it individually. It was one of those odd decisions where like different portions of different justices' decisions came together to create the baseline holding. But it was under the Roberts Court. I believe it may have been one of the last cases where, and I'm going to blank on the justice's name, he was kind of a reliable
Kennedy,
swing
Kennedy.
Vote. Yes, Kennedy was one of the, yep. The swing votes. So we'll talk more about the breakdown of that SCOTUS decision because I think it merits some evaluation.
And I think people ought to know that, 80% of a politician's day is spent dialing for dollars. That is so wrong. They should be spending that time on we the people and policies that actually help the people that are paying the tax dollars, not corporations that are just making them rich and making the whole system where it's just corrupt that way. It is definitely money in politics has been the issue since Buckley versus Vallejo, First National Bank versus Bilotti, and Citizens United. And I think if you check me on this, because I do believe in being checked, I don't believe in just throwing out things, but if you check, I think you'll see all three cases were done by the Powell Amendment and the Powell case, and the conservative Supreme Court justices have always taken the lead on getting money, put money in politics instead of getting it out, and Democrats actually have tried to get the money out of politics. We would have had Hillary Clinton in there as president. We would have gotten the money out of politics. But H.R. 1 and some of those other legislative...
I got to cut you off, Tom. I'm so sorry. Very quickly, the vote in the Citizens United was Roberts, Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, and Alito. It's all the conservatives plus the one swing. That equaled the five. We got to go to break. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I'll get back to you when we come back. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to join the melee, 844-967-2789. everybody. It is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. A couple of programming notes. Tune in this Thursday. Do not miss. My producer, Anya, is going to be in the hot seat hosting the show.
Good Lord, time people.
Yes, you should be there. Be square. It's time we heard from some young people. Are you now the alpha generation? Is that you? Or no. Are you the...
No, the alpha, Gen Alpha is still people younger than me. Folks who were born after like 2006 or 2008. I was born in the 19th century still. Sorry, the 20th century, not that far back.
Yeah, right. So you're a millennial, is that the term then?
I think some people would apply that to me. Yeah, I would technically be a millennial. But this Thursday is going to be a lot about the Gen Z vote and all the talking that I hear older people do about what's moving the youth vote. And I sit there and I go, Do you want to ask? And they never do. So without asking, I'll be here Thursday.
That's great. Thanks so much for doing that, Anya. You don't want to miss it. October 2nd, we're going to be talking all things Brewers postseason baseball with my good friend Matt Salmon, including the stadium deal. And on October 5th, Bob DeVita is going to be joining us again to talk about the state of healthcare in America. But today we're talking about Senator Menendez. He needs to go. So corrupt. So stupid, so arrogant, gold bricks for real. And here's what: he was a Democrat. The DOJ pursued him and charged him. Jack Smith pursued him and other Democrats and prosecuted them. And this is what you want your government actors to do. The through line that I wanted to pull out today is, can we not all agree that there are certain functions within government that should be, they're filled by human beings who have political beliefs, but that the standard of how those jobs are fulfilled should be without political bias? Can we agree? I think that's what everybody's trying to argue here, right? And if that is true, if that's what you want, then how is it possibly okay? How do you say that in one breath? And then in the next breath, defend Donald Trump, because he's not saying that he wants objective professionals in these jobs. He's saying he wants people that will go after his political enemies. He said it publicly a ton of times. And to, you know, not today, this was late Friday, he tweeted out that basically the current Joint Chiefs, the head of the Joint Chiefs, should be killed. I'll read it. Mark Milley, who led perhaps the most embarrassing moment in American history with his grossly incompetent implementation of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, costing many lives, leaving behind hundreds of American citizens, and handing over billions of dollars of the finest military equipment ever made, will be leaving the military next week. Guess who agreed to withdraw from Afghanistan and signed an agreement to that effect? Yeah, that was Donald Trump. Who set the timeline for that? It was Donald Trump. This will be a time for all U.S. citizens to celebrate, Trump continued. This guy turned out to be a woke train wreck who, if the fake news reporting is correct, was actually dealing with China to give them a heads up on the thinking of the president of the United States. This is an act so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death. A war between China and the United States could have been the result of this treasonous act. To be continued with 3 exclamation points. That was late on Friday. The guy that he's talking about, Mark Milley, is the current head of the Joint Chiefs. He was President Trump's top military advisor. And he did his job objectively. And he talks about this in this lengthy Atlantic piece. And he said, my job is not to make the president's decisions for him, but it is to clearly and unequivocally tell him what I think about various options. And I did that, and he didn't like it. He also talks about being used by the president. He doesn't put it in these terms, but being used by the president in that ridiculous march across Lafayette Square during the Black Lives Matter protests. He had just gotten done advising the president that no, the National Guard can't just shoot protesters in the leg. That was the actual conversation. And he said he didn't realize that there was going, that the optics, that what Trump wanted to do was give this visual that the military would be used to, you know, bring back law and order and lock up American citizens that were engaging in an exercise of their First Amendment right. The vast majority of people were engaging in an exercise of their First Amendment rights. One of our texters said, the dead Koch brother continues to have more free speech than we do, and more speech than we do. Melissa and Ed in Madison, you're 1,000% correct. My through line here is Menendez and the DOJ prosecuting him. They're doing that despite whatever party he's in. If the DOJ was being pulled, you know, strings being pulled and deals being cut by the Biden administration, they wouldn't risk the one seat bare majority that exists in the Senate right now. They wouldn't do that. If General Milley hadn't been a man of honor and stood up to Trump, that would have been the war with China. These are people trying to execute their jobs under very difficult circumstances. And what we want to see from people in those positions is a commitment to do it in fulfillment of their oaths of obligation to our state and federal constitutions. Why is it okay for Republicans to support a guy that says, screw that? You swear an oath of loyalty to me. Annie from Watertown, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you?
The earlier caller was on point of you're not going to get change. You know, so, the majority of people say, yeah, money out of politics. Well, you're not going to get that with Republicans. And they say both sides do it. Yeah. I think one of the signs of Wisconsin's, the beginning of our dissent, you know, look back at the caucus scandal, so-called. Happened where, you know, Quayle disappeared, yet Scott Jensen's still there. I mean, the difference in how it affected the two parties. And then for Prosser to come out later and say, oh, yeah, I did that too, but I didn't get caught. You know, I mean, sort of shows the difference in the application of standards.
Yeah, there's different rules, and the rules that may be assumedly in common for people of both parties are very much applied differently. I couldn't agree with you more. That's the problem. But shouldn't we at least, that the de minimis, the like bottom rung of the ladder should be up and down your party, everyone should be calling for objectivity, for real evidence, not for innuendos, not for rhetorical overstatements, not for going and buying a gun to prove that you're a tough guy. Trump holding a gun is like Trump holding a Bible upside down in front of a church after crossing Lafayette Square. It just doesn't work. The only thing that Trump looks at ease holding is a Big Mac. I've digressed. Shouldn't we be demanding up and down the ranks, starting at the top, that what you say is that you want prosecutions and law enforcement and the military to execute without political bias, objectively in the fulfillment of oaths to the constitutions that all of these officers and officials swear? And again, to me, what is really scary is that do not make the mistake that if Trump is elected in 24, he'll be just as bumbling as he was at the start of 2020. Nope, they've got the list of names of the folks that swear an oath of loyalty, not to our principles, not to our values, not to our flag, and certainly not to our Constitution, but people that are willing to swear an oath to Trump, the person. Jim texts, money is speech. I don't have any, so I don't get to speak. Sure seems like that's what the conservative wing plus Kennedy on the Supreme Court had to tell us all, didn't it? I mean, that's the logical outgrowth. And if money is speech, it infuses everything that happens in our politics with the lure towards corruption. These aren't unrelated issues. You see my point? That lure towards corruption, that lure to trade personal principle and oaths in favor of personal loyalties, Because if that person that's commanding your loyalty happens to be a billionaire with, you know, 70 million followers and wields both money and influence, you may be willing to trade principle for power. Because it becomes so much more acceptable. The degradation of these norms and standards is what we all should fear. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We're not better off now than we were on that basis. If we're talking about ethics in government, corruption, we're not better off now than we were before Donald Trump. No one can make that argument, at least with a straight face. You can't. Because it has become acceptable for one party to be tested by a different standard. Trump tried to commit a federal crime today. Nobody on the right's going to talk about it. Every time I hear a call from a conservative, but what about, my answer is always the same. Investigate them. When there's evidence, prosecute them. I've said on this show, Joe Biden, if I'm him, bring on the impeachment. Let's get it started. Put your evidence up. Let's test it. Because I can bear the scrutiny. The evidence against Trump is overwhelming. And things just keep getting worse, folks. Here's three things. I don't know if you all caught it, but three things that happened last week that it's getting worse for Trump. The first is Jeffrey Clark, the architect of the fake elector scheme, the environmental lawyer who is told to go back to his office and don't come out until you're told, that guy who has been charged in the Georgia case and has filed to remove his case to federal court. Now, remember, you can only remove if you are acting within the scope of duties of your office. That makes it a federal issue. I'm simplifying greatly here. His lawyer went into court last week and said, Jeffrey Clark's case gets removed to federal court because my client will testify that everything he did because Trump told him to. I'm going to repeat that. Jeffrey Clark's lawyer went into court last week and said Jeffrey Clark's Georgia case gets removed to federal court because everything Jeffrey Clark did, Trump told him to do. Now, Jeffrey Clark's sworn statement that was submitted to help support the removal petition didn't actually say that, but his lawyer did in court. Also that happened last week, a Trump personal aide, one by the name of Molly Michael, it came out, we knew that she had talked to the federal prosecutors. But now we know a little bit more about what she was telling them. And she has told them that Trump told her, you don't know anything about the boxes. And that she has texts, emails, calendars, and note cards that shows she very much knew a lot about the boxes. And last but not least, Rudy Giuliani's running out of money. When your most favorite son, when your chosen son, your former right-hand man, when you were a prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney Office for the Southern District of New York, when you were going after mob bosses and you're Rudy Giuliani, when that guy who was your mentee, who you helped kickstart his career, when that guy sues you for $1.3 million because you haven't paid his bills in defending you against the other criminal charges that you've got going on, boy, that's not good for you, Giuliani. And if Giuliani's broke, that's real bad for Trump because that is a serious pressure point. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about this third leg of the stool that I wanted to talk about today, the 9/11 prosecutions, and how, again, we see yet another example of we need judges and lawyers and law enforcement and our military to do the jobs independently every day.
Pirate smile.
Yeah. It's the Maggie Dawn Show. If you want to join us for the last segment of the day, we're talking about the importance of key advisors and lawyers and judges and military officials doing their jobs without political bias. In a way, independently. I'm not saying that there's no chain of command. There is. But ultimately, that chain of command comes up against a pretty harsh reality, and that is an unlawful order is not an order that you follow. Didn't work at Nuremberg. It was just following orders. And every time someone tries to politicize to make personally loyal those that should be only loyal to our Constitution and our highest principles, that is a person who acts in derogation of our Constitution. And that person is Donald Trump. Interestingly enough, just this past Sunday, Brian Kilmeade really stepped in it in Fox News. And I want to get to this, then I'm going to talk about the 9/11 case. So Kilmeade was interviewing someone from Ukraine who was around for a long time and was attempting to ask this individual who had been a part of the Ukrainian government about why this particular federal prosecutor from Ukraine, a guy by the name of Shokin, was fired. Because the entire Biden corruption thing is based on the premise that Biden pressured Ukraine to fire this prosecutor because the prosecutor was investigating Burisma, where his son was getting paid as a consultant. Okay? That is the entire linchpin on which the bananas Republican nonsense rises or falls. If Biden wasn't pressuring Ukraine to fire Shokin to help his kid out, there's not even a whiff of anything wrong. Well, every single one, if you go back to all the congressional hearings, basically anybody who knows anything about Russia and Ukraine and this guy and what was going on in Ukraine, all know that the Shokin guy was part of the corruption problem. He was kind of a nutbag. He was very corrupt himself. He needed to go. Okay, so again, not true. But Kilmeade's got on this guy who he thinks is going to be real easy to lead through, you know, tiptoe through the tulips to indict Biden as influence peddling to help his kid, right? Oh, except this happens. So Kilmeade is asking the guy's name is Poroshenko, directly why the prosecutor Shokin was fired. And here's what he says. First of all, Shokin, he's completely crazy person. This is something wrong with him. Second, there is no single word of truth. And third, I hate the idea to make any comments and to make any intervention in the American election. Please do not use the such person like Shokin to undermine the trust between bipartisan support and Ukraine. Kilmeade said meekly, right? What do you mean? He's not your friend? Poroshenko replied that he hadn't seen Shokin in maybe 4 years or so and hate the idea to have him because he play a very dirty game, unfortunately. So here's the guy that was supposed to like shore up the idea that there was no earthly reason to fire Shokin except for Biden trying to help his kid out. And that guy says on Fox News this Sunday, no, the guy was crazy and he was corrupt and I don't want to have anything to do with him. The entire linchpin. Okay, we got a few minutes left. Here's the last thing I wanted to share with y'all. So there is a judge that has been presiding over criminal prosecutions of the 9/11 perpetrators in Guantanamo Bay. It's within the military court system that is very complex. I'm not going to get into that. The guy that is presiding over the matter, and yes, it is 2023. 9/11 happened in 01. So yes, we're 22 years out. The fourth judge just told people he will be retiring. And so the entire criminal case basically comes to a halt. And the reason it does is that there's 36,000 pages of transcripts and 400,000 pages of filings and exhibits, including hundreds of rulings from this judge and the three before him. Why do I say this? Why does this paint the picture too? The judge overseeing this case is having a darned time bringing it to a close because none of the White Houses that have presided over this matter, that this matter has involved, have been willing to accept any kind of deal for a plea for any of these people. They're going to spend the rest of their lives in prison. There's no question about that. That it's basically, are they in solitary or not? It's those kinds of things. And in exchange, what's being offered is a full recounting of exactly who was involved in all of the details about 9/11, which I think we all think we probably should get. But this, to me, is a prime example of when the politics of something, the optics, the theater, the performative politics of something, make it very difficult for the thing that needs to happen that is of greater service to the greatest number of people in our country probably needs to happen. And it is in those kinds of decisions and in those kinds of public servants, the ones that are willing to tell elected officials, I urge you to do X and not Y. X will cost you personally, but this is why it is the right thing to do in my professional and politically unbiased opinion. That's the highest form of public service. Telling elected officials not what they want to hear, but what they must hear, what they need to hear. And that is why Donald Trump will forever and always be a terrible president, because he never wants to hear anything but what he wants to hear. That is a scary proposition. That's it for this episode of the Maggie Dawn Show. Come back tomorrow. We'll have more. And don't miss Thursday, because you'll have Anya. Thanks for listening, everybody, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now she's in.